Hey, Iffy. Who are you liking in the Super Bowl?
Man, that's such a delicious flavor.
If he's drinking a milkshake.
I'm an LA native. We're both LA natives.
That's right.
So you know I'm going for the Rams, but you know, it was a rough. For those who don't know and don't follow sports, I'm a longtime Saints fan, new Rams fan.
Because yes.
They're an LA team. It was Saints versus Rams to see who goes to the Super Bowl.
That must have been tough for you.
Saints were so close, and there was a bad call. And I was angry because I went into the game thinking, well, no matter who wins, I'll be happy because, you know, it'll be a good game, and I like both these teams. And then something cheese had to happen.
Damn. I didn't see that game. I don't really watch sports at all. But I do. I try to watch, like, the big event ones without being, like, I feel like people get annoying around this time of year, no matter what.
Oh, yeah, I'm ready for all the sports ball posts.
Oh, yeah, those are going to be annoying. And then people calling out the bandwagoners are annoying. Like, I don't get why it's a bad thing for people to be excited about the same thing that you're excited about. I think that's so stupid to be like, oh, these bandwagoners. Like, yeah, you're also into it. Let them also be into it with you.
Well, you know, when you're pathetic, you need any type of way to make yourself feel superior to another human.
Speaking of pathetic, Iffy, you have a receipt in your hand, and you're jonesing to make a complaint.
I'm literally going to the website right now.
Do you care to talk about what's going on here?
Yeah. So, you know, today I ended up, a turn of events made me end up breaking keto, and I usually, if I do break keto, I'm like, let me at least make a treat out of it if I'm already starting from scratch. So I go to Burger King, and I was running late too because I was doing a shoot today.
Holly weird.
Yeah. And so I was like, oh, let me, you know, do it up. Let me get, you know, so get some dessert so we can snack it on before we record, you know. Give Matt a little something for waiting up for me.
Hey, no problem. I was watching TV.
I go in, first off and foremost, it was bad all the way around. Because driving up here is a pain because it's raining pretty hard right now.
Yeah, nobody knows what they're doing.
And LA sucks in the rain because you have the two extremes. You have people who are trying to be too careful and are dangerous by default. And then you also have people who are just like, oh, I know I could drive good in the rain. And they're driving too recklessly. And the combination of these two is just so insane.
Yes.
It drives me mad.
And if I had to guess which Burger King you went to, is it the one that's just right there?
Yep, on the way here.
Yeah.
You know, I had to, you know, I was coming up Vermont. I was like, let me stop at that Burger King on the way. I can get something for both me and Matt. And immediately bad.
That's a bad location, though,
well, too. Yeah, we're going to get deep into that. So that thing happened where you're like getting ready to pull into a fast food restaurant and someone like pulls into the drive thru before you.
Yes.
And then like, you know how they have the menu before the actual drive thru speaker.
Yeah. And a little preview of what's to come.
And you can like check that out. Usually if you're alone, you can check that out all you want. And if someone comes behind you, you pull up because like there's no reason to slow down the whole drive-thru because you've never been to a Burger King in your fucking life. The menu has not changed much.
What do they have here?
Yeah. So I'm sitting behind this car and I'm getting mad because they already like did that thing where it's like, I'm gonna go real fast. So I'm in front. And now they're waiting at the thing and they see me and they won't pull up. So I just get livid. I honk like two or three times and then park and go inside. On to the next thing.
Damn.
Walk up.
So you parked and went in.
Yeah, parked and went in. Of course, no one was really at the cashier for a bit. Then someone saw me and was like, someone's going to come with you. And to their credit, someone came pretty fast. And then I do my order pretty quickly. I'm a pro. And not even because I go to Burger King a lot. Just like I said, their menu does not change. They usually have a Whopper, some variation of said Whopper.
Yeah.
And, you know, some competing burger. Like you go to a Carl's Jr., they have their burgers. They're Western, their $6 burger, and their superstar, their famous star, mm-hmm. and then the Big Carl that competes with the Big Mac. And, yeah. And Burger King has the Big King that's supposed to compete with the Big Mac. Wow. You know? Everyone has these Big Mac competitors now.
Nobody's talking about it, though. I just want to say Carl's Jr. slaps. Continue.
Oh, yeah. I think Carl's Jr. is heavily slapped. And that was the thing. I was like, you know, I was like, if they can accommodate for me, I was, I'll just, you know, kind of keep it keto and stuff.
Yeah.
Of course, they don't let us wrap their burgers at Burger King, apparently.
Isn't Burger King have it your way?
Yeah. And didn't let me have it my way.
Interesting.
Yeah. Then after that.
And I'd also, I mean, I don't want to point out, I guess I will,
yeah.
what month it is.
Oh, yeah. It's Black History Month.
So they didn't even.
So he looked a black person in the face on African American History Month, according to Donald Trump.
Oh my God! Really? He said that?
Yeah, he tweeted out "Happy African American History Month."
We live in hell.
And he denied me. He didn't let me have it my way. But so that's I do my order. Boss up. It's real simple. I didn't sweat it. I just got what I got.
What'd you get?
I got the bacon whopper.
Great.
And, you know, fries and then an M&M shake instead of a drink.
Yes.
And I got cinnamonies for us.
Yes. They were very good.
Funnel cake fries.
Yes. Yeah. Also very good.
Yeah. Extremely good.
Yeah. The funnel cake fries are phenomenal.
Yeah. So I order it. And then he says the price, which was like $15.57. And I was like, cool. And I pull out my card to put it in the, to use it on the machine. Yeah. And he goes, wait. Can you show me the card and can you show me your ID? And he like spends like a good solid, like 2 to 3 minutes, like looking like, And I'm like, one, if you can't fucking read a credit card, you got to hand that shit back. You can't just be sitting up here making me look like I'm about to steal $15.50 yeah. for your fucking burger, dude.
Yeah.
Like,
no way.
Yeah. He stood there and then that made, and then he was like, okay, then slide it. I was like, so you didn't have to check it if I get to just, if I'm still the one who has to do this operation. Oh, no,
he's doing this in the wrong month.
Yeah, yeah, it's very bad. So I slide it, and then when my food comes, I take extra long, like, looking at it. Not long enough, though, because I popped open the cinnamonies.
Oh, no, yes.
And the cinnamonies, if you don't know, are tiny cinnamon buns. And like many, many cinnamon buns because that's a regular thing.
Yes.
You got the cream cheese dipping sauce usually.
Yeah.
Not for my cinnamonies. I popped that shit open and me and Matt had to start this podcast after eating some dry ass cinnamonies.
Yeah. The mouth's feeling pretty dry right now.
Yeah. So this one goes out to you. It doesn't say their name on the receipt.
You're going to flame them on the pod? Oh yeah.
I was going to flame them on the pod, but... His name is on the receipt, so I'm going to just blast the whole spot, which is Burger King 11490. Suck my ass! Welcome to Candy Dinner with Matt and Iffy.
Oh, good Lord.
I'm Iffy Wadiway, and sitting across from me...
Matt Apodaca, wow, just really thrilled at the delivery of Suck My Ass.
Yeah, oh my gosh, I'm so heated up. By the way, is this your first time wearing those glasses?
So it's not my first time wearing these glasses. I have been, I guess first time on the pod, I've been wearing them for a week. I went, and so a little bit about my week... I'll just jump right in. Mm-hmm. How's that sound? Last week on the pod, I talked about going to the doctor, getting all like my blood taken and stuff, and just like kind of taking care of myself. And I'm fine. I got a clean bill of health. Doctor said I should lose a little weight. But I also, now that I have, you know, health insurance through work and stuff, I was like, oh, let's just get all this done. Let's just go through, do my eyes. I went to the dentist a couple months ago. I didn't need to do that. So I went and got my eyes checked over the weekend. I think when I saw you, mm-hmm. probably that same day, I went and got my eyes checked. Oh, yeah, and I didn't talk about it. So I have an astigmatism
yeah.
in my left eyeball. And so they were like, you should be wearing glasses. I guess not all the time. I guess right now they're not really serving a function because I can see you just fine without them. But when I'm sitting at a desk at a computer for 8 hours a day, they've been extremely helpful. There is quite a difference with wearing them, I've noticed, though, too, because my left eye is not as good, apparently, as my right eye. So I am... So the my right eye is doing a majority of the work. My eyes are getting tired.
Yeah.
So when I'm wearing these glasses, though, the split is 50-50. They're both doing the same amount of work. My eyes aren't as tired. So they've been helping me all week, and I really like them.
Yeah.
And everybody's been saying...
Yeah, you look good.
Matt's a snack.
Oh, is that what people are saying?
Matt's a snack with the glasses
on. That was a jump from what I thought it was.
No, nobody's saying I'm a snack.
Okay. You look good.
I guess
good.
My girlfriend says I'm a snack.
No, well, yeah. She has to.
I don't know if she's ever said that, but maybe she's thought it.
I'd say she'd say it. If she didn't, watch out.
She would say I'm a snack.
Yeah, I'd say she'd say it.
And what else has happened to me? Oh, I don't know if I talked about this. I don't think I talked about this on the show at all. My left ear had been giving me trouble. For, like, honestly, maybe a month. Like, mm-hmm. too long. But I started to, like, try to take care of it at home myself. Because I was just like, oh, this has happened to me before where, like, I've had water in my ear for, like, a couple of days or something. And it just, like, wouldn't shake out.
Yeah.
And then it, you know, clears itself. So I was getting drops and I was doing it. And it just wasn't working. So I finally scheduled. When I went to my doctor last week, He looked in that ear and was like, yeah, this is going to be gross.
Don't like, go for it.
The wax in your ear is just impacted.
Whoa, so he had to bust it out.
So no, he was like, you have to make an appointment with.
So he wouldn't even, that's always the craziest at the doctor's office when they're like, here's the problem. I can't fix it.
I can't do it. Well, he was like, so you're going to take these drops for 3 days, twice a day, and it's going to loosen the stuff in there, and then you're going to come see our nurse, and she's going to blast it out of your ear. So I did that. I followed doctor's orders, got that stuff nice and loose, and then I went and saw this woman, Jane, over at Kaiser, and she basically filled a bottle with water that she then squeezed into my ear to sort of blast, like pressure wash the stuff out of my ear. And it took, guess how many times it took, Iffy?
What, how many times?
Three times. It took three times.
So wait. So let me run this back. And so you went and got it. It cleared already.
Yeah. Oh, my ear's fine now.
Oh, so how long from when the doctor was like, I can't do nothing?
I went to the doctor on Friday and I got it blasted out on Wednesday, the following Wednesday.
Okay.
So I got the drops immediately after I left the doctor. I don't think I took them the day that I got them because it needed to be like for 3 days and I couldn't take them more than four.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I'll do them this day leading up to the appointment.
Yeah.
And so I was doing my drops. I guess it was just like there was just so much in there that the first blast wasn't like, I mean, it was the first one. I'll say one blast.
Okay, we're going to get to the blast.
Yeah.
We're getting to that. I needed the whole step. So when you put the drops in, did it feel better or was it more just a primer for the blast?
It was primer for the blast, but I also did sort of like feel it like doing some work, like sort of like
getting some crackling out.
Yeah, I heard some of that. And you have to keep your ear in or like plug it up a little bit.
Do you like turn it out the other side so it drips out or does it stay?
Here's the thing, dripped all the way through.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding. No, that'd be crazy. Like I have nothing between my ears.
No brain.
No brain to block it. but I went and saw Jane and, you know, there's a few blasts in each bottle. So the first round is like basically this little tub that's resting on my shoulder to catch whatever falls out.
Yeah.
And a little bit came out, but not a lot. And then she looked again. She's like, there's still like a lot more. So we did it a couple times. Like again, more came out and it was crazy. It was just so crazy how much stuff was in there. And then the third time we did it, like a big piece came out. Like it was so crazy. It was like, it was maybe like this long, Iffy. Like that's like a half an inch. And it was just like so crazy that there could be that much stuff in there. But it's because Q-tips are not good for your ears.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be pushing them.
Yeah, it just pushes it deep.
Yeah, they're only for the outside. They're only for the outside. But you think because most of the wax is deep back there.
Yeah.
You're like, "Oh, I better get this out." But no, it's for the outside. It's for when the wax gets out that way. So I did that. So in the span of 3 days, in the span of 3 or 4 days, I improved 2 senses. I can hear again, and I can see better than I've ever seen.
Yeah. So, is that what prompted the initial doctor's visit? Is you're like, I'm not hearing anything well.
Yeah. It was for that. It was for this, cough that I had. My snoring and sort of, heartburn problems that I have occasionally. So
how you can tell you're in a relationship. You don't start addressing snoring issues until you get into a relationship.
No, well, I tried to address it, a year ago when I was very alone. Because I was living at home and everybody in the house was like, you snore so bad. Yeah, no,
that's basically the point I made.
Oh, yeah.
Is that you have someone else who is sleeping with you.
Yes, that's so true. You're right.
Yeah.
But this, my roommate came.
Yeah, it's null and void when you live with your parents.
Yeah.
Because that's a lame thing to do.
But my sweet girlfriend says that it doesn't bother her.
Yeah, that's what Aurora said.
She, I do get her, earplugs to sleep, so she doesn't have to hear it. But sometimes if she falls asleep without putting them in, she's like, it doesn't bother me.
Yeah. I was going to be like, a good way to stop the snoring is losing weight. But then I remember your doctor already gave you that. I've tried to take,
I'm making a concerted effort. Not so much with, I should be exercising more. I have this exercise bike that I try to get on every so often. I should be doing that for longer and more often. But I haven't been really eating breakfast. Not that I am. I did think this week that I was gonna start. If he's got a chocolate chip and a straw, he's trying to get out in a Winnie the Pooh fashion, I would say.
It was a M&M. Thank you very much.
Oh, an M&M. Excuse me.
they really didn't think through this. M&M.
They gotta give you a boba straw.
Yeah, exactly.
Thick, yeah, if they got a thick mix in. They got to give you a thicker straw.
Yeah.
But I haven't been really eating breakfast. I've been drinking these smoothies that I make every morning with spinach in them. And let me tell you about these poops.
Yeah, spinach will clean you out.
These are the healthiest poops I've taken in a long time. Solid. Feels good. Everyone's going to be so mad at us that I'm talking about poop and you're slurping back on it.
I know, it's these are the two worst things to be on the podcast.
But I drink these smoothies every morning, basically for breakfast, and that's kind of a lower calorie intake, but something's nutritious. And for lunch, I've been eating salads, just regular salads, and loose deli meat for protein. And if he's wiping his mouth with a tissue, or he's going to blow his nose, he's going to do something.
Yeah, I got lots of takes. Okay, so anyway.
Yeah, I'm not doing anything crazy. I was thinking, maybe I could do intermittent fasting because I'm not super hungry when I wake up in the morning.
That's what I was going to suggest when you're saying you're missing breakfast.
But as soon as the day that I decided I was going to do it, it was somebody's birthday here at work, and there were so many donuts. Fuck.
I promise you, that's going to the moment you start on intermittent fasting is when you get donuts. This week in the writer's room, we'll. I was like, okay, I'm doing keto. And I'm very obnoxious about it because they've been ordering snacks for us.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh yeah, get that moon cheese, get that. That's what I can have on keto, 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 just all day. And they're like, all right, we got you. Literally the next day, my showrunner's wife sends him to work with Portos. Sorry, Iffy, we got Portos. And I was like, sorry, guys, I guess I'm not on fucking keto, dude, because I'm never going to pass up Portos. That's my shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially
what, this. What was it? Just various pastries?
It was the full caveat. You had your potato balls, guava, roll-ups, all of the good stuff. So,
yeah. I haven't had a Portos sandwich in a minute, but anyway.
Yeah, a medianoche. Oof.
Ooh.
But I was doing pretty good Friday, but I usually like to start Mondays. But there was a moment on this sketch I was shooting today where I take a swig and I was drinking Coke Zero all day, so I was good. But then when they refilled it, they put regular Coke, and I was like, well, and everyone, I was looking at the keto sites for
Keto?
Well, no, just kind of seeing what people, because usually with diets, especially popular ones like keto's, there's usually someone who asks the exact same question you're thinking. And I was like, will taking a swig of soda, kick you out of ketosis? And all the answer was even if it does, it doesn't matter. They're it's such a little small amount of carbs, it's better to end the day with like that small amount and start from there than to go up to 500. And I just said, fuck it, I'm gonna go up to 500. I went to Burger King.
I haven't, I was sort of reading about keto a little bit because it's something that I'm like, oh, I could probably do that. Like,
you probably can. Everyone thinks it's hard because the barrier of entry is so stop and all that stuff. It is the discipline of like, all right, you know, you can have cheese, you know, you can like, you just have to tweak it.
Yeah. Cause like the thing that I think is always intimidating about doing stuff like that is just like the sudden change and like this, the amount of things you're changing. So if I decided I was going to do keto and intermittent fasting, I'd probably fail at one or the other.
Yeah. I would highly suggest you do intermittent fasting first. Yeah. I like intermittent fasting as a starter for a lot of people because it's like you don't do anything other than don't eat for a period of time.
And like if I did like what's a solid feeding window? Like 12 to 8, for example.
Yeah.
I'm not usually eating anything after 8 o'clock anyway.
Yeah, 12 to 8 is solid, mostly because like that's a big enough window to where like you'd be in a lot of social eating eating situations anyway.
And like one, I feel like it's too late for like the time that I wake up in the morning and then go to work. Cause like 1 o'clock, I mean, that's like a pretty standard lunch time, but like, I feel like if you're not going to eat breakfast and you're going to get up at the time that I get up, 12 is probably the way to go. But it's something that I think I am considering doing, but that also, donut day fucked me up.
But also know that it stays flexible. So like, say like, you know, you've been doing 12 to 8 for a minute and then like one night you're at a show and the Ponies having dinner at Birds and it's like 8:30. Then you eat that dinner and then you start the next day at 12:30.
Oh yeah.
And just adjust that way. I do that so often.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's the cool thing. A lot of people are so into just having like strong set statutes to follow their diet when like a lot of these diets is just go with the flow. Because eventually, here's the kind of philosophy I have with like cheating or falling off or breaking. Let's say I was just starting keto and the situation happened today and I was like, oh snap, I drank a Coke, I broke keto, it's done. And then I do the Burger King thing. And then tomorrow I'm like, all right, let me just go again. But I already kind of broken the seal. And so I'm like, all right, I'm going to hit Burger King again. And then because then the next day you're going to talk to yourself where it's like, get back on keto. Well, I already failed. It's not like I can do it.
Yeah.
And it just is this weird spiral that you tell yourself where if you like smash, rewind, even though I didn't do this, but I'm like so used to this in a way that I can get away with this, even though I've been kind of falling off the horse a lot lately.
I don't know if I've mentioned the amount of weight that my doctor wants me to lose.
Yeah, 30.
Yeah, it was 30 pounds. I don't know if that's it is attainable if I do and exercise, but I don't think it's just it's attainable by diet alone.
I think it is attainable by diet alone. Just have realistic goals.
Yeah.
Like you're not going to lose 30 by summer.
No.
You might not even lose 30 in a year, but you can lose 30 by changing your meal plan.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's all that is. And like, you know, 30 is a lot. If you lose 10, that's a big, you know, leap. If you lose 15, even bigger. It's all about just being able to stick to it. And that's the hardest. That's the hardest part, really.
Yeah.
Is sticking to it. But if like I was saying in that situation, if I did like, oh, okay, I fucked up, I'm going to still stick to it. And then tomorrow I'm back in it. And in my head, I'm still on it. So I no longer have that thought who's able to be like, well, you fucked that day up. Fuck this.
Next time. It's weird to have like a guilt that you're sort of self-imposing on yourself when you're actually not in trouble.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people do drive themselves crazy when they're like, okay, I got to go to the gym. I got to do this. And then they can't do it for some reason. And then they feel bad. And it was like working out and dieting should not make you feel bad.
No.
It should always be on your terms and it should always be chill. Like you don't sweat it. You have your whole life to get healthy. You know, that's how I look at it.
So this week I was like, oh, let's see if you can eat leaner than you normally would.
For example.
And it was very easy. Loose deli meat is a weird thing to eat.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, where's the sandwich? But that's the stuff you're eating it for anyway, because the meat's the best part of the sandwich.
Usually. Yeah. So I'm going to read off what I the note when they gave you the open floor.
Yeah.
That's why I've been quiet. If you're listening, been like, damn, if he hasn't jumped on of one of Matt's many fuck-ups that he probably had while I was focusing what on sending hell? This bad review, it's because I was giving a bad review to this Burger King on their, like, survey site. And when they asked, like, well, what made it a bad experience? I said, employees spent too long check-in. Because I did a typo, and now I'm noticing that I sent it in with a typo. But it was supposed to be checking my ID for my card and basically made it seem like I stole it. Then, after all that, messed up my cinnamonies order and never included the sauce, which basically leaves such a dry treat. And that's what I sent.
Wow.
So, you know.
I hope. Do you think they'll get back to you?
I told them not to because they always are like, would you like a representative to get in touch with you? I was like, hell no.
Dude, don't at me.
It'll make it even sadder, you know? Like, it was.
You should have tweeted this.
It was sad even like putting it in the survey because they're like, when you went to Burger King, were you just alone or with friends of a party?
And you then
it
was like, you should have said I was there.
Yeah, yeah. She was like, you know, my friend was there.
How was your week?
It was good. It's been ramping up. You know, I got into a room. I'm writing for a web show that I can't really disclose much info about. And then on top
of InfoWars, right?
No. That would be wild. Like, you know, I'm on a web show that I can't disclose much info wars about, but it was a good time. And so we've been ramping up. We've actually been moving pretty well schedule-wise.
That's great.
And so, like, I basically wrote the first draft of my first episode and finished the outline by the end of the week of my second episode. So, yeah, I'm already about two episodes in, and we're only in week two. It's been fun, you know. It's been great to be back in a room. You know, in the room is Marina Schifrin, who worked with me at Midnight. Good to have an old friend.
Hey,
and
fun.
Our buddy Greg Nix.
Greg Nix is on the show.
Yeah, yeah, he's in the room, and he's just – a delight. He's always
best.
Fun.
Yeah.
Just the way he'll like read the outlines as we read them out. He puts the emotion there. You know, he doesn't let it die on the page.
Well, give my regards to Greg Nix.
He's great. I'll tell him you said what's up.
Yeah.
He's going to Monster Jam tomorrow.
What is that?
With the trucks, the monster truck. Oh, actually, he's there tonight because I made the hilarious joke of, oh, I guess you're buying tickets for Sunday. You had to be there or you'd be like, you should be in tears crying. You should be fucking in tears.
I don't know if I would have liked it either way.
Well, I feel like you would have enjoyed it.
Have you ever been to one of those before?
No, but you have, right?
Yeah, I have a white stepfather, so we would go to, to demolition derbies, kind of often. Yeah, we just like as a weekend activity, that's something we would go do. And it, let me tell you, there is something pretty satisfying about watching a car run into another car.
Oh, I am so sure of it. It's so funny because, I keep meaning to tell you to get this to work.
Oh, yeah.
We'll do some test stuff after the pod.
If he's referring to the aux cord.
That didn't
that's
work.
Here, that's here.
That infected like our past two episodes. Did you hear any of that?
No, what happened?
Well, you could tell that we stopped.
What was going on, yeah.
You could tell we stopped listening to our own episodes because of that. Because we used to.
Yeah, we don't have like a producer to sort of do like QA on any of our episodes.
Yeah, yeah. So it's really just me. And so basically what happened, if you're listening and wondered what was going on. So the episode where we used that and it didn't work, I left a buffer. With me sounding sick as hell.
Yeah.
Being like, it didn't work, yada, yada, yada. So what I do for every episode is all I do is go to the previous episode and I take the bottom track, which is the intro and outro, and then paste it to the bottom track of the new episode.
Yeah.
But, and this is I've caught it before. This is the first time it's leaked to the public, but it will, because I'm just copying the whole bottom track, that's where I put the like note about the no sound. So because of that, it pasted twice. And the first time we did it, no one said anything. So so then that allowed me to go back.
Do you think nobody listened that week?
Well, we get the listen, so I don't know what happened. I are y'all just not tweeting us? You know, no one said anything in the Discord. Stealth will retweet. Or not retweet, but Stealth Hawk will post like tweets about the show in the Discord. But besides that, no one's really in there getting active.
I still need to get on there.
I've been waiting for you to get on. You know,
is there an app I have to download?
Yeah, it's called Discord. I literally said it as the description of what's going on.
Okay, but.
But yeah, beyond that, you know, so I put out that fire, and both episodes are updated. If you stop listening to it because it was too obstructive, and it's late enough in the episode too, where I think people just kind of check out. I re-uploaded it, so the tracks are clean and free.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It was all that. So yeah, it's just been room stuff, playing a lot of Destiny. You know, it was so funny. I've been on the front page of Twitch on Thursdays from like 10 to midnight.
Yes.
And so that was like pretty dope and fun. And, you know, we had our last one this past Thursday, or so we thought.
Oh.
Because Twitch is putting me on the front page again this Thursday from 8 to 10 for Black History Month.
Hell yeah.
And, you know, who would have thought that a video game streaming service tweeting that they're highlighting Black partnered streamers for Black History Month would lead to so many salty ass white gamers.
Oh, are they trying to say their gamer words?
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, there was a lot of what about White History Month?
No.
And it's from an extra whack place, because at least like when you're like, what about White History Month? It's coming from a place of just like you're being racist. But I think it's not even necessarily coming from a straight up racist place. A lot of these, like Twitch is a platform where it's hard to kind of stand out right now because of the way the system works. Like if you want to watch someone play Fortnite, you click Fortnite and it shows the streamer from the most viewers to least. It's
that ninja.
Yeah. Well, it's that ninja. Yeah. But just in general, if you just click Fortnite and it's a list of people streaming Fortnite, it shows the users from most viewers to least. So if you're starting out with essentially zero or one viewer, it's going to be hard to have growth because people have to scroll so far down just to find you. So any opportunity for highlights, of someone getting highlighted, it always comes from a place of jealousy of like, oh, because these people are Black, they're getting this opportunity to be highlighted on Twitch, and I can never have that opportunity, so I'm gonna be mad about it.
I the world of streaming video games is so foreign to me, and you're like the only person I know that does it.
Yeah, it's cool. It reminds me of when like Steve Agee and folks got on Vine real early and figured out like, oh, this is a platform to tell jokes. Or when Steve Agee and folks got on Twitter early and was like, this is a place to tell jokes.
You're always right behind Steve Agee. Yeah,
I've been chasing him down, man. Yeah. I've been chasing him down.
Yeah.
where, you know, now you have people doing it. I think it's maybe Jack Allison. He has like a morning show he does on Twitch that's pretty popular, and he's starting to do like
Jack AM.
Yeah, he's doing like the straight up comedy route. There are a few people who do straight up comedy. I'm just a what I'd like to believe a funny streamer. Where like I'm streaming games, but also I'm communicating in a funny way. I mean, there's a few. I mean, Stealth Hawk is, you know, he's in the Salt Squad, which are subscribers to my channel. So Stealth, you know, he's well aware, you know, and it's cool because a lot of folks from podcasts like to come on there and we'll just continue the discussion there.
Yeah.
So I truly enjoy it because that's kind of how I imagine that I'm treating it as, where it's just kind of like an extension of a podcast where it's live. And I brought it up to so many people who have been interested in it. Like I was just talking to Paul Scheer the other day, and he's like he was like, oh, this would be fun. And I was like, I want to get you on here.
That'd be so fun.
Lula Borg, I've been trying to get on there. He's like, he was interested in Sam Richardson. We were talking about it. So like I was like, I tell him every time, like, I want to be the Twitch ambassador of like comedians to Twitch, and we can find your lane. Cause Adam Conover, he's on it and he like kills it. He just plays Dark Souls. He uses it in the same way I do.
That's
where
so
he just
fun.
Plays a video game and, you know, just talks, you know, I like it a lot.
I wonder if there, I don't think there's a, maybe there is. I don't know if there's a game that I can play well enough for people to be like wanting to watch me play the game.
Well, I'd always describe it to people in this way. There's two types of streamers. You have your pro level, well-skilled gaming streamer, and then you have your entertaining streamer.
Yeah.
I shoe on the side of entertaining. So yeah. If you're, I think if people want to talk to you enough, you can get up there and do your thing.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm either or that way.
I, good, I, good look, I wasn't going to call you out, but if you're going to say, yeah, oh, no.
Because I guess it would take some practice, I would suppose. I'm pretty silent when I'm playing video games.
Well, yeah, it really does take some practice. It is funny because that is the other side of it. It's not, you can't just pop it in because, you know, I'm not trying to like drag anyone or like try and say it's bad. It was just something I noticed. I'll put it this way. But I like rated someone, and what rating is like similar to retweets or revines. Twitch has a kind of similar kind of boosting feature called rating or hosting. And what that means is like at the end of your stream, if you kind of want to share the love, you can host another channel or rate it. And rating is typically the best way to go about it. And rating was actually something that was done naturally by the community before they actually implemented in the Twitter UI, the Twitch UI. And what rating is you host it. So instead of your video now on your channel, it hosts their channel video and they can click through to go into their chat. And that's kind of why rating happened, because if you just host someone, they get the views because people are watching on your channel, but they don't get any of the interaction.
Yeah.
So the act of host rating is the idea that, you know, you and your community have like a battle cry or an emote that you go into someone's stream with. So mine, since it's the Salt Squad and the Salt Fam, I have people say, "Here come them salty boys." And then, And so then they'll go into the chat, and then if done perfectly, all they see in their chat is, "Here come them salty boys."
Oh my God.
And it's
God.
Just filled up, and there's like an emote where it's like a mean salt shaker that we have.
That's so good.
And so like, and it's this cool thing where people are like, "Oh man, this is, well, what's going on?" And now like, not only do I get to host them, but like some people from my community can check this person out. And you can use that in one way where there's someone you do know and you're like, "Oh, I think you guys would like this person. This is my friend. Check them out." Or like what I like to do is like, if I have a nice group of people and I kind of don't, I don't really have any of my friends on, I'll try and find like the smallest streamer, you know, and that's what's been the coolest about Front Page is I'll have like, you know, anywhere from like 1,000 leftover people, even though it's a lot harder because since it's Front Page, unless you know how I was explaining watching versus being in your chat.
Yeah.
If you're watching on the Front Page, you're technically not in my chat. But the last game I played had a lot of chat interaction. Like they can actually affect the game. And so we had a lot of people in chat. So I was able to raid someone with like, I think he had like 4 or 5 people, and I was able to raid him with 50 people. So now he just bounces up to 50 viewers who also were watching my stream because of that game. So they were actively interested in the game. So they came in there and they were just communicating with him. And I got to like, and he was saying he only has been streaming for 2 weeks and he was like very excited. And I was like, I'm glad I was able to kind of pop into
a
stream and boost, you know, and get, you know, highlight this person who he was better than me at the game. So like, I was like, well, if you guys want to watch someone good, there's this guy. And I think he might have got some nice new people in his community. I like that.
I would do a Tony Hawk's Pro Skater stream.
That would be tight. There was a guy who did an Oregon Trail stream.
Really?
Yeah. And he did it all in character.
The only experience I've had with Twitch really is when they did, before Bob Ross was on Netflix, they did that like marathon of just streaming Bob Ross.
Yeah, it also helped kick, the reason they did that is because they were kicking off their creative. So Twitch, a short and definitely probably missing parts history of Twitch TV is, do you remember Justin TV?
No.
Okay, Justin TV was a live streaming service where it was like, it was like those early aughts live streaming where people would have like web shows, or it would just literally be watching someone living in their room for the day. And so Justin TV was one of those sites because it was started by this guy named Justin who like was live streaming his life. They noticed a large community of gamers on that site and was like, let's create a live streaming strike. Let's create a live streaming. I've been fucked. I fucked it up twice and I don't want to edit it. So just, I'm human. He was like, let's create a live streaming site for gaming. And thus Twitch TV was born. But Twitch strictly was only gaming. So it was only video games. Then like a few years ago, they opened it up to creative where you can come on and do like art, because then they were trying to expand outside of video game content. And then they had like social eating, and now they have comedy and all this stuff. When I went up to Sketchfest, I got to hang out with my friends at Twitch, and we were talking about like the future, and they're really trying to tap into the stand-up space. And it's fun. I would love to find a way to get stand-up to work on Twitch. I think there's a few things, you know, API wise and like, you know, mod isn't the right word, but just like plugins,
yeah,
I think would help both sides of it. And we just kind of were batting around, chatting and seeing.
Batting and chatting.
So who knows? I think
that'd be awesome. I'm very interested in what they do. It's very fascinating to me. Just the idea, because like this is such a new, it's such a new thing. Like it's still like, but it's like, so many people know what it is.
Yeah.
And so many people use it. Millions of people use this thing that like, if you asked like my mom about Twitch, she probably doesn't know what it is, but millions of people do know what it is.
It's crazy. It's, really crazy. It's just the younger generation.
Yeah.
It's a direct evolution of YouTube when you think of it, because YouTube was a very presentational site, and now you have this interactive site that people love. And I think that's why it's so exciting, because you get to talk to people real time, you know?
Yeah. I've been playing Kingdom Hearts 3.
Oh yeah. How have you been liking it?
As soon as I booted it up, I am a little embarrassed to say that I almost did just start weeping. It's been 13 years since Kingdom Hearts 2, and Kingdom Hearts 2 is an all-time, like, one of the best video games I've ever played.
Yeah.
And it was such, like, I think I got to the first Kingdom Hearts late, and then the second, like, I got the one that was on the Game Boy Advance, I think it's Chain of Memories, and then Kingdom Hearts 2 came out.
Yeah.
And I was just so blown away by Kingdom Hearts 2. And then I had a couple of the other ones. I didn't do all of the side ones, because there was one on PSP that I just didn't get. Yeah. And then, like, they did the sort of remasters that they did were a little confusing to me, because I wasn't sure what content was on it.
Yeah, and then they had the 3DS Dream Drop Distance.
Yes.
To try and justify the 3Ds.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I haven't played all of them. So there's the thing about all of these games, these side games even, is that they are an important part of the canon. So like every bit of the story like really matters.
Yeah.
And so far in Kingdom Hearts 3, I don't know what is going on. Like I sort of understand the story based off of where it left off in Kingdom Hearts 2, but there's so many like side things that they've like brought back into the fold, into the main entry, that I don't quite know what it is. But the gameplay is so fun. It's such a satisfying game to play because it's very nostalgic. I just, those controls I just have memorized. Like I just like know how to like really fuck people up as Sora.
Yeah.
And just the work that they put into creating or recreating these worlds that you're already familiar with in as far as the Disney movies go, it's insane. It's so fun. I've really loved playing the game so far. And there's like a Tangled level that I finished, and right now I'm about to start the Frozen level. I had an option to pick between Monsters, Inc. and Frozen. And if I'm being honest, I wanted to get the Frozen one out of the way because I don't like Frozen. And I was like, I'm going to love Monsters, Inc. I want to blow past Frozen because I don't like it. But It's great. And some of the voice actors came back to voice their characters. Like, Zachary Levi is his character from Tangled.
Yeah.
Still. And
oh yeah. Well, I mean, it's a,
it's so crazy.
It's one of Disney's
Mandy
biggest
Moore didn't
game.
Come back though, but like, it's like,
yeah, well, you know, she's out here, you know, chilling.
She's on This Is Us.
But, oh yeah. Well, yeah, she ain't got time. She got This Is Us money.
But the, there hasn't been as many, I'm still early into the game, obviously, but I haven't seen a lot of Final Fantasy people so far.
Yeah.
I've only seen Disney stuff, yeah. Which is fine by me because I love all of it, but, it's such a, I just love playing the game, and it's gorgeous too. Like the graphics in this game are incredible. And like just waiting as long as we did for the, you know, a proper sequel was, I think, worth the wait so far. It's been really, really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I guess we can talk, hop into the weekly tops. The weekly, this is a good point to mention this, mention the thing I forgot to mention, and then move on from it. But I listened to The Read. I love Crystal and Kid Fury. And they literally did a just mailbag episode this week because Kid Fury was like, when Kingdom Hearts comes out, I'm not going to record. And so like episode, they're like, oh, you thought I was joking about that. I was so 100% serious. Here's the mailbag episode. But like they do, you know, the hot topics of the week. And he always does like a pun on like tops and bottoms.
Yeah.
So like when I just said hot tops, I felt bad. And I want to establish that I accidentally, I'm basically pulling the mat here, calling out something that we're touching on that another podcast does to immediately shoot it down. But
I mean, we did talk about those snacks at the beginning. I'll say that on the scale of snack or whack, I think they were, you know, the funnel cake fries, hard snack, and the Cinnaminis. That's gonna be a soft whack right there. But you know what, Burger King, three forks.
Yeah, we're missing the prime component of the Cinnaminis, and now I'm mad about it again. But
you want to get into the weekly tops?
To the yummy toppings. That's what we'll call the weekly toppings.
Ooh, yummy toppings. Yummy toppings. Okay.
Yeah, yummy toppings.
What's going on?
Fuck Jerry.
Oh,
that's been a real. It's so crazy to see this united front against Fuck Jerry, and like it's been going on for a few days, and I was like, damn, people have been going hard. Let me check his followers. Still 14 million.
Yeah, the thing about it that I think is crazy to me, because like watching both Fire Docs.
What was funny is I didn't even know they were involved in any way.
I didn't know that from the first, like, I first knew about the Fire Fest, but watching the documentary. I watched the Netflix one first, which they produced, and I sort of did. I knew that they were bad. I knew that they were not good and that they did steal content. So I was already like, well, fuck these guys. And then the Hulu documentary, which came out before the Netflix one, sort of makes that point also, like doesn't make the point of that they are thieves or whatever, but that they're a bad company. And so it's kind of crazy. I mean, I've known for a long time, like a lot of people have known that they steal stuff. And that I always feel bad. It always feels terrible to say the fat Jew. It feels like I'm saying a slur. Like, and I don't like it.
Well, but I think that's what makes it worse is that he really was like, got him.
Yeah, they're gonna make me say the fat. Gonna make them say the fat Jew.
Yeah.
But he steals stuff too. We've all known this, and then like now it's like, oh fuck these guys, and like good. I want it to happen. I want them to go away forever. Any sort of meme aggregate site that doesn't give credit should burn to the ground, because not giving credit in this day and age is akin to not paying artists for their art. Like, you know what I mean? To give them the fucking credit.
Yeah, dude, I literally had a situation like that just today. You know, it was a very cute animation.
Oh, I saw this and I loved it.
Yeah, it's like a little two little puppies eating together.
Yeah, eating little like dumplings.
And like they're in like as they get towards the end of their dumpling pile, one puppy keeps giving the more to the other one.
Yeah, he's sharing.
Yeah, he's sharing and making sure that his buddy gets more than him. And his buddy keeps slicing it, and he'll slice it so that he can give it back. And it was just such a cute thing. And I shared it, and I was like, this shit is so motherfucking cute. It was great. Started getting on a roll of RTs. And then, friend of the pod, friend of me, friend of my life, Lindsay Katai replies, hey, share this instead, because it's the actual animators and the person who posted it totally cut out the end credits, making me immediately mad. I deleted the tweet, even though it was well on its roll to virality. Probably if I didn't retweet it, you know, it would have got like 30K retweets, and I would have, you know, replied to it and was like, you know, hit my SoundCloud, you know, or something like that. But I was like, it was more important to me to properly credit the actual artist than to get lots of RTs.
Yes.
And I replied to the repost because I was like, this is so motherfucking cute. And then in parentheses, I was like, and actually credits the animators. And I was like, I get reposting like a video so that you can add your jokes to it. Like, I truly do get that because I do it. You know, if there's a video, you know, usually from the news or something else, you know, I'll repost it. But if it's ever any art or animation, I make sure I credit the person who did the art. But to go out of your way to chop out the credit and share it is just a primo dick move.
Yeah, like
you went out of your way to rip it. Because what's the use of cutting out the credits? Like, to me, if you cut out the credits, you are immediately trying to say you made it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think there does need to be a policy. If someone can prove that that's their art and the credit was ripped, it needs to be deleted from Twitter.
I just think it's so crazy to do that just because, like, why wouldn't you want to give credit for something you enjoyed?
Yeah.
I'm always, like, happy to share something that I liked and say who it's from.
Yeah.
It's just so easy.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's so damn easy. I love that. My friend Lola, she just liked my reply to Now That's Music. That's just nice.
Oh, because they
They said the day is finally here. Now 69 is now available. They knew what they were doing. The day is finally here.
I love brands that sort of like have a little fun.
Yeah.
Like Corn Nuts is fucking wild.
Oh my gosh. Corn Nuts is wildin'. They are truly.
Let's go see what their most recent.
Busting out, for lack of a better term. Yeah, I like, it's so funny because I did a tweet that was like, all right, now y'all niggas wildin'. And it didn't get as many retweets. And I noticed that whenever I use nigga in a tweet, it doesn't get any retweets. And during Black History Month, if you don't retweet a tweet with nigga in it, you racist.
Whoa.
Oh my gosh. Corn Nuts just retweeted Lil B. And before that, they tweeted, good morning to the base nut.
Yeah, they're wild.
Yeah, they're wild.
They very recently tweeted, 1-800 nut bust.
Yeah.
They're great. I love them. This is not sponsored content, by the way. I was just saying something I like.
Yeah. But, you know, and apparently you can't even call the number. I wish you could call 1-800 nut bust.
Me too.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
But is there, what are the other hot topics? Like the fuck Jerry thing is pretty crazy. The Super Bowl.
Oh yeah. Well, something I had to fill you in on.
Oh yes.
You know, our current president.
Oh, this buffoon.
Donald Trump. Donald Trump tweeted out for the National African American History Month is an occasion to rediscover the enduring stories of African Americans and the gifts of freedom, purpose, and opportunity they have bestowed on future generations. Then it links to the White House.
You hate black people, you racist bitch.
I just want to know. Also, this shit is straight up ratioed. This shit is straight up. It has 24.8K. replies and 18.7K retweets. And he, you know, for as trash as Donald Trump is, he actually doesn't ratio that often.
No, what it is, because I'm sure there are people replying to him, you know, being like, oh, like you actually don't care about this. You know, they're sort of like, they're replying to him. And the people who do like him don't want to like it because it is seemingly pro black people.
That's the one I want to find. Like, I know our team is like, look, for me, it's like, I don't follow this nigga. And I'm not going to be sitting up here replying to each of his tweets.
No.
Like, even though sometimes I'm like, shit, I want to get into a fight.
Yeah.
Then
I'll
reply to his tweet and let some, and no one ever claps, but,
no one ever claps at me. Cause I know I don't have a lot of followers and I don't have, the sort of reach, that other people on Twitter have, but I did tweet today, all billionaires should be hanged. And it's not doing bad, but it's not doing good.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. No, they're coming for you. They're coming for
they're
you.
Waiting.
You're on the list. Do you have a Alexa?
Do I have Alexa? No.
Yeah, see, don't get one because Bezos is on your dick now. He's like, he could be like, Alexa, set my alarm for 7 a.m.
I think the worst thing you could do ever in your entire life is wish to be a billionaire.
Yeah. I mean,
how worthless could you be?
I look, here's a, you know, rough take. I could be a good billionaire.
I guess you could.
I could be. Here's the thing is like,
everyone thinks they would be good. Yeah, money would change you so fast. That amount of money would be bad.
100%. I would be married to a sex doll. but honestly, it's not that like money makes you bad. It's the thing you have to have. You have to be like a low key sociopath to make that much money.
Yeah.
Because you get to a point where you make enough money, but to really, like, get to that point to make your money snap, you have to snap in a way that you stop. Like, you know, you have to stop being like, oh, okay, I made this much money. I should probably raise the wages of the people under me. Like, it takes that bite of the... Oh, did that come through? Did you hear that?
I absolutely heard that.
Oh, shit. I'm going to have to try and cut that out.
You did it right into the microphone.
No, I didn't. It's just these microphones are sensitive.
Oh.
All right. Hopefully I'll see that.
Oh, my God.
I'm probably going to forget it. But you just need that extra, like, gumption to, like, be like, no, fuck everyone else. I'm in it for myself.
Yes.
And then your money just expands because you're not, you know, you're not paying taxes anymore. You're finding all these loopholes to get out of paying taxes. You're not paying your employees a fair wage. And to be honest, I think I would be a good billionaire because I don't need much to make me happy. If I could just like, if I was making Bezos money, I would only like tax me 70%.
Yeah.
Because I'd be good with 10% of his money. 10% if I'm able to just buy shoes on the reg, streetwear on the reg, and, you know, fucking smoke weed with Elon Musk or some shit.
Oh my God. He's the last person I'd ever want to hang out with.
Yeah, right. If you were rich, I feel like it's next level.
Did you
like,
see that picture, by the way? Did you see this picture this week?
No, what picture?
Of Pete Davidson, Kanye West, and our boy.
No, I missed. Wait, what?
Hold on. Let me show you this picture. Kanye. I don't want to say who it is because you haven't seen. So this picture really caught me by surprise because it's Kanye West, Kid Cudi celebrating his birthday, 35th birthday, Pete Davidson, and friend of the pod, Timothy Chalamet.
What?
Yeah, Timothy Chalamet hanging with Kanye and Cudi and Pete.
Yeah, I'm not his friend.
Yeah,
I'm not his friend anymore. I'm just straight up not his friend anymore. Like, he has upgraded all the niggas in his life.
Oh my God. Because, like, there's a good chance when you were on set with him for this, that short you were in, that you probably talked about Kanye, you probably talked about Kid Cudi.
Yeah.
And now he's hanging out with them, he didn't be like, iffy, guess who I'm hanging out with?
Yeah, yeah. Also, like, he was in L.A. So. Like, he didn't want to be like, hit me up like, yo, let's kick it before I go hang with Kanye West, Kid Cudi, and fucking Pete Davidson.
Yeah.
It's cool, though. That's for that, you know, that's for those. I'll see you up there, Timothy.
Did you see, also speaking of Pete Davidson, did you see that he somehow?
Hell yeah.
I got up from my seat and just like started clapping.
My favorite tweet regarding that was I forgot who it was a female comedian. She's great. She was like, "How big is his dick?"
Oh, I saw that. Yeah,
I was like, "It must be big."
Yeah,
but see, if I was single and at that level, I think I'd say I got that good dick.
You would just say you did?
No, I think I do have good enough dick to like...
Oh, to pull?
Well, because here's the thing, and here's the fact of the matter, no matter what, it's all Ariana Grande, because like the moment you come out and be like, he got that good dick, I don't care how much you diss him after, there's going to be somebody thinking...
How good, though?
Yeah. Exactly. And Kate Blanchett.
Kate Beckinsale.
Oops, wrong Kate.
Yeah.
Kate Beckinsale was like, I need to see how good that dick is.
Yeah, it's just so wild to me.
Yeah. It's so funny, too, that famous comedians
She's hot as hell.
Yeah. But famous comedians still drag their significant others to comedy clubs.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Because it was like when I saw Zac Efron at the Improv that one time because he was friends with Gerard Carmichael.
Yeah.
Dude, I guess that's just the step you take. You get to stellar level, like, comedian, and then you make famous friends. You have, like...
Well, they were in Neighbors together, so like they probably just became friends. Yeah,
but I'd still be like there's a stratosphere. Like you have fucking, you know, Jason Van Ness. Jason. I was going to correct myself.
Okay.
I know his name. Raise your hand if you were on Game of Thrones. Oh, I'm the only one raising my hand. Don't ever in your life correct me about my friend, Jonathan Van Ness.
It's just so crazy that you got his name wrong.
Well, because I'm still just hurt by Timothy Chalamet replacing me with fucking Scott Mascuti and Kanye West.
I don't know. I mean, we're recording this on Saturday night because tomorrow's the Super Bowl. This is, I think, I don't want to wrap up yet because I'm having a lot of fun. I just feel like it's a very different energy on Saturday. Saturday energy.
Yeah, we got that Saturday energy. We haven't been burnt by the weekend.
No, yeah, we're not done.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we're not. I think when we record on Sundays, we're like, oh, we got to go to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, it's so like it's so crazy because like he left holding her hand.
Yeah,
and you don't hold somebody's hand unless you're in love
or you're under the age of 30. Like she's probably at home. Like why the fuck?
He's like, why is she? Why is he holding my hand?
Hold my hand. Like you know, I just wanted the pipe.
Damn. Well, Kate, I hope it's great. Pete, congrats.
Pete, I mean, here's the thing.
Pete's 23.
Here's the thing about this though. We're seeing a public, like we're seeing like a public young post breakup T. And like right now, my man's Pete winning. Like that's a flex.
Yeah, it's a huge flex.
Like I don't care what is she going to do? Is she about to drop a new song? Like
talking about how she hates Underworld?
Yeah, yeah. Yo. He just came back. She dropped Thank You Next, and he was like, all right. And next up is Kate fucking Beckinsale. Damn, that shit tight.
Look at the way she covers her face, though. Like, she like, does not want to. She's like, I know this is bad.
Oh, yeah. She's like, this is not a good look for me. And Pete's like, nah, I know this is a fucking good look for me.
Yeah.
Hope Ariana see this shit.
It's so wild. He probably texted her
that night, too, like, oh, man, the dick was good. Oh, sorry. That was for Kate. Sorry, Ariana. Didn't mean to send you that. That was for Kate.
Did you see what she tweeted today, Ariana Grande? This is not the show that we do. We don't do like celebrity stuff.
Yeah, but you know.
But it's just kind of happening right now. TMZ tweeted that Ariana Grande gets $1 million offer to remove Japanese barbecue grill tattoo. And she quote tweeted it, I'll give y'all $1 million to get off my nuts. So she's fun.
Yeah, yeah.
I like her.
But that's definitely some angry energy.
Yes.
She saw the pics. I'd like to imagine that on that article it was probably that Pete pic and she mad as fuck.
Damn. I hope so. I don't hope anyone's mad, actually, and I take that back. But did you see, I don't watch this show, but did you see, I think it's called, is it called Drop the Mic? With the Muppets? That rap battle show?
Oh, yeah.
It was very sweet.
Yeah.
The Muppets were they were rapping, and Kermit was not doing he wasn't putting anybody down. He was just being nice.
Yeah.
And then Beaker, you know, was like me 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 me, and everybody was acting like it was he was swearing, and it was too crazy. They were like, oh, that's no,
so great.
It was really really fun. But then, yeah, you had Pepe and Piggy exchanging barbs and, you know, really roasting each other. It was pretty good stuff. I love the Muppets, and I love, I just like seeing them on my TV doing modern stuff.
Yeah.
Are you trying to text Timothy?
No. I think I'm throwing in the towel. He'll come to me when he's ready.
It'd be fun to have him on the show.
I know. That's really. What
why would he do our show of any show?
Because we're niggas. Yeah, come on. That'd be tight. That'd be the tightest episode. Mostly the numbers would be great.
The numbers would be huge. People want to hear Timothy.
It'd be good. You know, I'd be like, who do you like more? As soon as he'd sit down, who do you like more, me or Kid Cudi? He'd probably pick Kid Cudi. He's like, it's crazy. I'm actually happy for him because I like when we met, like he. So the short film we shot, one of the producers on it produced the short film that Cudi was in that eventually led to him like doing all that acting stuff.
Yeah.
And so she was like, oh, I can get you to meet Cudi. And he like lost his fucking mind.
Yeah.
So it's so crazy that like they're just homies now, you know?
There was like that interview that he did like where he was like on the red carpet and they were talking to him about Frank Ocean and he was just going on about how much of a big fan of Frank Ocean he was and he like almost started to cry.
Yeah.
He was just like so excited. He was just like, yeah. I love him.
I know.
I love how genuine he seems.
Well, it's so crazy to see just in the span of 2 years him going to this like him adapting to this next level of fame and then this year of he's just famous.
Yeah, it's so
like,
crazy.
Like, it went from, like, oh, man, it's crazy he's this famous to, like, he's...
Oscar Isaac is going to play his dad.
Yeah. Oh, my God. In Dune. Dude, yeah. My favorite book.
I did something that I don't normally do, Iffy, this week. I went on to adidas.com.
Oh, shit. What were you going to get?
I bought some sneakers. They had a sale. They were 50% off. And then I had an additional coupon code for 15% off. And I had a little extra scratch. So I bought some sneakers.
Yeah.
These are the shoes that I got. They're coming on Tuesday.
Ooh. Did Zig guide you at all on those?
Zig did guide
me. Yeah, because he was asking me about those sneakers, so he must have.
So you guided me in a way.
Yeah.
Because I think they're very nice. They're the, let's see, what is this? Pod S3.1 shoes. I got them in Blue Knight, which then has some high-res red and sub-green. So I'm excited to try these bad boys on. I never owned a pair of Adidas. I'm excited to join the sneaker squad.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I love a good sneaker. I love having lots of sneakers. It's so funny because, like, the episode that I wrote was originally supposed to take place in, like, a toy store. And, like, they were pitching, like, different ideas of different locations. Of course, I pitch a sneaker shop. And so now I, like, wrote, like, it's so crazy to be like, oh, yeah, this is a very easy episode to write because I'm just writing from my truth.
Yes.
And I get to just air out all the things that I hate about this culture and love. So that's tight. Yeah, I don't know. I'm still reeling over those new, because it's like so many levels to that. Because it's the level of being like proud of him for being for kicking it with Kid Cudi because he loves it. Jealous of him because Kanye West, even though you know we're going through times right now.
Yes,
but that still is like, you know, I would still love to meet him, and he's boom him.
Yes,
and I guess Pete Davidson, but I saw his ass at the improv before he snapped. You know,
yeah, I know. We had our chance with Pete.
Yeah,
we could have been his friend.
I know. Gosh, it's coming. When we're like famous,
who's the first person you're going to try to befriend when you're very famous?
The first person, I thought you were going to say who's the first person I was going to cut off, but this is more fun.
Well, no, the answer is me.
But no. Nah, hell no.
Weldon?
Maybe. I think the first person that I'd try and be friends with is I think I'd try and reconnect with Emma Stone.
Oh yes, yeah, because she liked you.
Yeah, and she was like I don't like this. This sounds is gonna sound way more masturbatory than I want it to, but like I would love to be friends with someone who already likes my comedy because it's like, oh yeah, you're not gonna be annoyed by my dumb bits because yes. You already know you already know. Find me funny.
Yeah, I guess I would like to befriend Dave Grohl.
Oh yeah,
that'd be a good one.
Yeah, you know who else is starting to get famous? Famous?
Who?
Ron Funches.
Yes.
When fucking The Rock started retweeting his special, I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
You nigga, you famous, famous.
Did you see the trailer for Hobbs and Shaw?
Not yet. I'm saving myself.
For what? For when?
For when I get back to the room, get in a bubble bath.
Crank one off to the,
trailer? We don't know. If it get there, get there. But, you know, I need to be in a purely relaxed state.
It's insane. Can I mean, I don't want to tell you about anything if you haven't seen anything.
Okay, I'll watch it live. And I'm a do what you never do. I'm gonna just have it up to the thing.
Okay. Yeah, I do want to see because I do want to talk about this before we. I mean, we should probably wrap up soon. But
so this is what we'll kind of go out
on. Okay. Wow. Big. This is a huge energy to end on. I hope people are like, this is a crazy episode.
I know. I hope people are like, yeah. But they probably turned it off once I started talking about Twitch. So.
Yeah, they're not. Well, I hope they stayed tuned for the good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. See, that's what happens is we test our listeners.
Yes. Yeah. It's yeah. Our podcast is a test.
Woo! Hold on, I'm gonna pause that shit right there.
1 second in, and he's pausing it. We're opening with Idris.
So yeah, I saw the pic of him and Idris, and I was like, you already made a good ass decision, my man, by putting my man Idris in there. I swear to God, if there's anything I do, Idris Elba is gonna play my dad in the thing. I'm gonna write it.
Oh my God.
I'm dealing with the future of the planet. I'm the necessary shock to the system. I am human evolutionary change.
He's a fucking superhuman.
Bad guy.
The mission has been compromised.
He's an enhanced human being.
We need help.
Oh. Our target's name is Brixton. He's a ghost. We're gonna need the best trackers.
What was your character's name last week?
Brixton, Doctor. No, Brooksy. Lawman
always gets his guy. We're gonna need to operate outside the system. Deckard Shaw.
I'm what you might call a champagne problem.
I love Statham.
Doesn't play well with others. If we stand a chance against Brixton, you guys have to work together.
No way. This guy's a real ass.
Woo! Yeah, it's so crazy.
This job requires stealth.
Oh, we're bringing back old Fast and Furious moves right there.
Yeah.
Oh, this is good.
He's a fucking...
Yeah, he's a superhuman.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So does this mean we're going to have superhumans in the next Fast and Furious?
I don't know, but there's a strong case to be made that this is no longer a car heist franchise. This is a superhero franchise.
I mean... He's running down the side of a building.
Yes.
Oh, man. Look at this. They don't like each other.
No.
They don't like each other.
Three shocks will kill a man. There we go. It's a bad guy's feet.
You had to open your big mouth, didn't you, huh?
Yeah, I thought it was a cool thing to say in the moment.
Woo! That was good. And I like that they tried to do the action version of Why Can't We Be Friends?
Yes.
So I will say, because you were like, oh, this is not a car heist movie. But we have to remember that a few movies back, Vin Diesel crashed a car into another car to fly up and catch his his girl.
It's been a superhero movie. Yeah.
We had a tank fly out of a plane.
They crashed a car from like the 60th floor of a skyscraper in Dubai into another skyscraper.
Yeah, they were on the world's longest runway.
Yeah, it's insane. These movies are the best thing to have ever happened to me.
And I am here for it.
Yeah, it's so crazy. I remember I think you are the one that told me to just see Fast Five because it had come out on Blu-ray and I hadn't seen it.
Yeah,
I missed the fourth one because I was just like, oh, it's just like another one.
Yeah.
That one is sort of just like another one. But at Fast Five, that's sort of when they do like a reboot of what the movies are.
Yeah, well, that's why I was when Tyrese was getting all butthurt over this movie and just real mad about it. And he was like, it's either me or The Rock. And I was like, it's The Rock, dude.
Yeah, sorry, Tyrese. Because
the movies got immediately better when The Rock got involved. And you being involved was just kind of like a... Hey,
just because you were in one of them before.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it really wasn't like they were doing you a favor. And you were mad that they refused to do you a favor sooner. You're going to be in the next one, Tyrese.
Ludacris is such a small part of that same movie, and he's in these movies too.
Yeah, like, it's just the smallest part. And he's happy. You know, and he doesn't have too many Transformers in his house.
No. Yeah, you got too many Transformers. But it's just so crazy because... They started off, it was Point Break with cars, right? Very grounded, very normal. And now there is a man in this world who is basically a super soldier. And then he has to be stopped by these two unlikely friends.
I'm so ready.
It's going to be insane. I'm so curious.
I'm so... Fucking
I don't want it to sound like
curious I'm, about this these superpowers.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't want it to sound like I'm ironically excited about it, or I'm sort of like even making fun. These movies are genuinely the thing I look forward to most when they're coming out. Like they're so fun.
Oh, I love them so much.
Iffy, what do you have going on this week?
Ooh, sorry. There's a nice butt on my timeline.
And you know what to do with that big fat butt.
That song is ridiculous. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle.
Do, 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 do. This Saturday energy is something.
I know, right? You know, I got a few shows. I'm going to just do shows all the way in the distance just to get people ready. Just if you're planning a trip to LA, maybe you'll make it happen. As always, check Iffy Wideway, IFYNWADIWE on Twitter and Instagram for up-to-date show dates. IffD's on Twitch for Twitchy gameplay bullshit. But on the 16th, on Saturday, I'll be doing live on Mint at Long Beach Comic Con. So come through for some nerdy-ass jokes. And then deep. Actually, I have a show coming up sooner, but I'm too lazy to pull up that email. On the 22nd of March, I'm going to be doing Faded. On Monday, the 25th, I'm doing Hot Tub. And we just got more and more shows. Actually, let me shout out, because I got some shows coming up way closer that I probably should shout out. We definitely, if you're listening to this Thursday at 9:30 p.m., I'm doing the Black History Rap Battle with Zora Bikangaga at UCB Franklin on the 23rd, Saturday, February 23rd. I'll be doing the Turtle Hour at the Ruby. It'll be at 8 p.m. That shit's gonna slap. On the 19th at 8 p.m., I'll be at the Friend Bar doing the last show. That's on Hyperion. It's a good bar. It seems like it's going to be a slapper show. We got Jenny Yang, a friend of the pod. She's coming down and she's going to do her thing, and much more. I got shows on shows. You never know where I'll be, so stay close.
Wow, stay close, folks.
Yeah.
You can find me online at Matt Apodaca. It's on Twitter and Instagram. And then on Monday the 4th, when this drops, when you're listening to this, you can come see my team Pony at Herald Night at UCB Franklin at 9:30 p.m. Tickets for that are $5. And then you can see my final sketch show of this mod cycle with my sketch team Mama. We're putting up a show at 8:30 p.m. on Wednesday the 6th. That's also $5. And it's a concept show. We're doing a full... Like a parody of a 1 hour drama. We're doing it in half hour, so it's like a basically like a one act political drama. It's called The West House of Scandal, Designated Survivor. So come check that out. That's gonna be really crazy. Something we've been working on. We've been working on it since December. This show. So come on out to that. It's gonna be really good. And I think that's it for this week, Iffy.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, what an ep. I had a Diet Coke. We had those snacks. Who knows what's going on?
Pretty much getting ready to take a shit right as soon as we get done with this. So, you know, maybe I'll start a new podcast in there.
Oh, my God. Well.
Well, I'll see y'all later. It's been fun.
Bye-bye. Fire app.